Number 63, if you want to hold that in readiness. That's kind of what we'll sing as we are making our decision this morning. Every time that the Scripture is shared, it calls for a decision. Often, I think we think that the decision is somebody coming forward and getting baptized, and certainly, if you haven't done that, I would encourage that decision this morning. But everybody's going to decide, let's see, whether we're going to make application or whether we're not. So, as you kind of hold that in readiness to decide, kind of be thinking about your decision. We've been talking about selflessness. Now, I want you to turn to a familiar scripture this morning, and I want you to forget everything that you've ever heard about this scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. A lot of you probably could quote this without even looking at it. And oftentimes, this is used to be a diving board into God and country sermons. See? To preach a patriotic sermon with the focus being on my people, as though there were some sort of manifest destiny to America. Well, the only manifest destiny that I see is God's people. When he's talking about my people, he's talking about us. Now, in this case, he's talking about God's people in the Old Testament, but to make application now, he's talking about God's people in the New Testament. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Why don't you read that with me? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, I thank you so much for the word that we have, and Father, that we're able to read it, we're able to think on it, and Father, but most of all, we're able to apply it. And that's why you have given us this word, Father, so that we might have head knowledge and heart knowledge and wisdom to live it out. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Selflessness is not apathetic. See? Well, you kind of look at the sermon title that selflessness is not indifference. It's easy to become indifferent. Say, if I'm selfless to the place where I don't think anything about myself, then I don't think anything about anybody else. See? So, we become indifferent. And oftentimes, I think when this particular scripture is led or read and thought about, the focus can be, see, on my people as a nation and heal their land. Now, brethren, we are marching in Zion. Jesus said that his kingdom was not of this world. So this is not, see, this is not America. This is a land, see, that Abraham saw by faith. And that's the I'm in the way, the glory land way. See, build me just a cabin in the corner. It's a real place. See, but it's easy to become indifferent. See, what? Now, that's not to say that there's not problems. See, we need to be concerned about it. See. But what am I able to impact? See? And what does it mean to be humble? Now, that's some instructions here, see? And instructions from my Lord, see? See? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And what does that mean? Humble ourselves and pray. Does the spirit in which I pray affect my prayers? Well, according to this, it does. See? If my people will humble themselves. Now, we can use all sorts of physical well, how do you humble yourself? Well, you crawl through glass, or you make sure that you kneel, or you certainly you don't act like that kid that doesn't close his eyes. We can put all that, see, but that's not the focus. See, what if my people will humble themselves? See, how do we humble ourselves in prayer? Well, first, we acknowledge that God is in control. My prayer is not to get God to agree with what I've already determined is supposed to be. And this is not a divine debate, see, that through prayer I bring God over to my way of thinking. Humble doesn't mean debased. I noticed, it was last week, I can't remember the lyrics to the song, but we are not worms, see? It's not such a worm as I. That's not humility. I talked about last week that self-debasement, see? Humble doesn't mean to think of myself, I can't do this. When he talked about Moses, when you know you can do it, saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See? Humble doesn't mean, and see, humbleness isn't connected to self-esteem. But here's my thesis statement. Humility is how we view others, how we view God, and our heart attitude in response to God. Humility is how we view others, how we view God, and our heart attitude in response to God. How we view others. I mean, again, sometimes we think about humility is about how do I view myself? No, how do I view others? See? Look at, we talked about Moses last week, and I told you his little stunt at the burning bush was not humility. But I want you to understand that Moses was more humble than anybody else on the face of the earth. And God brings that out. Not at the burning bush, but an incident in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Turn over there with me. Now, don't you see the humility of Moses? Numbers chapter 12. Now, Miriam and Aaron, Moses' sister and brother, who were key components in this whole thing. Aaron being high priest, Miriam being a prophetess. And spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom Moses had married. And they said, in verse 2, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has He not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now, Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now, God brings that out there for a purpose. To give us Moses' attitude about others. See, suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Hey, you three come out here." See? And see, this is Moses' supporting cast. Yeah, right hand man, Aaron, the high priest. But Moses didn't defend himself. God did. Look at verses 9 and 10. "So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them," against Miriam and Aaron. "And he departed, and then the cloud departed from above and the tabernacle, and suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow, and Aaron turned toward Miriam, and she was a leper." What does that mean to me? I'm never supposed to stick up for myself? See? Well, let's make application to the New Testament then. The idea here being, the idea of number one, see, that humility is about how we view others. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I see the Old Testament principle. And I let the New Testament, reveal what was in the Old Testament. You know, it not only goes for prophecy, but it goes for principle. You see? Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. "For I say, through grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." The more mature you are, see, the less you'll have to seek honor and importance for yourself. And that's that measure of faith, see? The more mature you are, the less you'll have to seek honor and importance for yourself. See? Because the honor and the importance are not necessary. See? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit." See? "But in humility, consider others better than yourself." Conceit and ambition, see, are excluded. The alternative then is humility, to consider others, you see, to regard others more highly than you regard yourself. Now, when I think my way is the best way. I figure you're like that too. See? I mean, I think everybody ought to crowd up front. We're like that, see? But what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to consider others, you see, regard others more highly than we regard ourselves. See? Consider others. But we kind of get stuck on my way being the best way. We tend to forget about the needs of others. So humility is not so much focused on me being humble as it is focused on other people, see, and my attitude towards them. A humble person isn't somebody who feels shame for who they are. A humble person is not going to possess self-honor or self-adornment, but they're going to find a niche and help that niche. Now, things, you probably never experienced this, but things don't always go my way. And when they don't, see, well, what does humility do? Well, you know, we work, we continue to respect the relationship. Because here's my thesis statement: humility is how we view others, how we view God, and our heart attitude in response to God. So, humility is how we view others. You know, it goes from, you see. Now Moses had to focus on himself at the burning bush. See, I can't. But when God tells us that nobody was more humble than Moses, see, God, you see, takes care of it. Now, humility is not only how we view others, but how we view God. We need to have an appropriate view of God. See? Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame and I stand in awe of your deeds." Now, standing in awe of his deeds means overwhelming reverence. See? Overwhelming admiration. God is awesome. Rocky Road ice cream is not. Pick your flavor. Mine happens to be butter pecan. Even butter pecan is not awesome. See? Nor is it reverend. It's pretty good. But how do I view God? See? Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Now, look at Revelation chapter 15. Let's take this principle and bring it to New Testament reality. Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And they sang the song of who? Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Now you want to know, what the most humble man of the Old Testament sang? See, song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.'" Humility is not And selflessness is not putting ourselves down, but it's raising Christ up. God is exalted. Break this down here in Revelation, and I want you to see that in this passage, God is given, you see, God is exalted. So humility is not putting ourselves down, it's raising Christ up. God is exalted when He is called, see, Lord God Almighty, just and true are Your ways, O King of the saints. God is trusted, see. You alone are holy, for the nations shall come and worship before You. Great and marvelous are Your deeds. God is reverenced, because everybody is going to, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Humility is selflessness, is how we view others, how we view God, and our heart attitude in response to God. We must be sensitive to God. Now, sometimes, you know, you get in trouble being sensitive to God because the Lord led me to. Well, primarily, God is going to lead us through His Word. Now, that's not to say that we don't have inclinations to do things. Well, certainly, you know, we do. See? But when we're sensitive to God, more to the point, we deal with sin. See? We deal with sin immediately and the barriers, and we take action. A change of heart that produces a change of action. What does it mean to be sensitive? Well, I can't be sensitive to God if I don't know what He wants. I gotta know what's important to Him. And as was brought out here this morning, see, we need to glorify Christ and we need to seek and save the lost. Now, that's really illustrated. I'm not going to have the time to read it this morning, but if you want to write this down, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, we see Saul. And Saul, you see, he offered a sacrifice that he shouldn't have offered. And he's being confronted there, see, about what he's done. And Samuel says to Saul, he said, "Now you've done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of your Lord God." Now, Saul had a form of godliness, but you see, it lacked the power thereof because he tried to make excuses for going against what he knew what he was supposed to do. But see, my ethics cannot be situational. That's not humble. Now David, on the other hand, in 2 Samuel, verses 2 Samuel chapter 12, again, instead of reading this whole thing, read this and bring this lesson to bear, see? Nathan is coming to David and told David that God knew about his sin with Bathsheba and what was going to happen. See? And when that child that was born of Bathsheba died, now David, you see, humbled himself before God and asked that God would relent, see, and change His mind about taking this child's life. But what I want you to notice is that after that happened, David got up. And the people were all shook up because now what's King David going to do because this baby died, see? Well, what he did was he ate and moved on because his attitude towards God is that God is God. And I'll tell you, no matter how much it hurts, and no matter how much you may not understand it now, God is God. James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That resist is a military term, the best I can understand it, and it means to stand against in battle. Now notice that God resists the proud. Who resists the proud? God does. Now, you really want to go to battle with God? Sometimes maybe we tend to blame others or demonic activity for opposition. But maybe it's really God opposing us because of our pride. That's why it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands, of a mighty God. Let me tell you, standing on my own, I don't want to pick a fight with the devil. I don't want to pick a fight with God. The only thing that gives me the faith and the endurance to pick a fight with the devil is because of Jesus' sacrifice. But I don't want God to resist me because of my pride. And sometimes my pride has gotten me into trouble. And I got a sneaking hunch that sometimes your pride might get you into trouble. Now, where's the resistance coming from, if our actions are a result of pride? Well, it says God resists the proud. God stands against in battle to the proud. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 18:4, that therefore whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What is your immediate desire for Elijah this morning? To listen to you. What's your immediate desire for Vincent this morning? To listen. What do you think God's immediate desire for us is? To listen. Now, what causes children, not to pick on just the boys here, what causes kids not to listen? Pride. They think they know better than their parents. Now, what do you think might cause Christians not to listen? Same thing. See? Our pride. So, when he says, as little children, well, we become, sensitive to God. We become sensitive to other people. And we become sensitive to who they are and what we need to do. God doesn't mean for us to play poor boy. He doesn't mean that we're supposed to put ourselves down, but what he means is that we are to think of others more highly than we think of ourselves. So humility is how we view others, it's how we view God, and our heart attitude in response to God. That's selflessness. This acronym really, just had an acronym here that really doesn't tie in very well, but I thought it was really good, so I'm going to use it and close with it. In a practical sense, in a New Testament sense, you've heard the expression that we need to eat crow. Have anybody here ever had to eat crow? See? Now we kind of know what that idiom means, that we don't eat, you know, Heckle and Jekyll. So your kids don't know who Heckle and Jekyll is, but, you know, look on the internet or something, I don't know. But it doesn't mean we're supposed to go kill a crow. See? But here's kind of an acronym for crow. And we ought to try eating crow. C is for conviction. R is for repentance. O is for obedience. And W is for work. And we'll try eating crow, keep our convictions, you know. Repent where we need to. Be obedient in all things and ready to work for the greater good. Now, we're not going to have too much trouble with selflessness. One thing that, you know, God knows what He's doing. Because baptism is the place and the time where a person's sin is washed away. Now, there is nothing more selfless, you see, than allowing oneself to be in control of another, to be put down into the water and brought up out of the water, and you're dripping wet. See, like a newborn. You are helpless, see, you are selfless. See. But if that's the only thing you were obedient to, That's the beginning, see? That's just the beginning of selflessness. We're called to march forward. See? Selflessness is not indifference. No, selflessness really is conviction. It's not about me. It's about Him. Hymn number 63, what are you going to decide this morning? You need to decide nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.